Guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
Thank you for joining us today. We have been studying basic facts of the faith. And so today we begin a study of counting the cost. Before a person becomes a Christian, he needs to consider very carefully if he is willing to pay the price that it takes to live the Christian life. We have found this to be especially true in our work among the Chinese people when we worked living in Taiwan, working among the Chinese people there. But it's true in every country of the world. To make sure before a person becomes a Christian that they understand what is involved in living the Christian life. Would you want to go to a doctor who has not made the preparation in doing the things that are necessary in becoming a physician? Who had not thought about what is going to be involved in the years of study and training and preparation? Certainly, you would not want someone who said, "Well, yesterday I thought I would be a doctor, so today I'm a doctor." I don't want someone like that treating me. I want someone who has counted the cost of working in healing people through medicine. Every person needs to know that becoming a Christian means entering the Lord's church, not a denomination, and that becoming a Christian carries with it much responsibility. We know that a person who becomes a Christian and then falls away is worse off than one who never knew the truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Verse 21, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.'" 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. Then further the Bible says, "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. So note, please, these two passages of Scripture in 2 Peter and in Luke point out that if we know what we should do and don't do it, the punishment will be greater. And that if we at one time had left the world but gone back into the world, the situation after we go back into the world is worse than if we had never obeyed. Now please understand, the Bible does not teach, because it is possible for a person to fall away, you should never begin. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible urges us to make a good beginning, but it also urges us to continue faithfully. And in order to live the Christian life in a faithful way, we must first count the cost. Are we willing to make the effort to accomplish the task? Well, let's look at some passages that emphasize counting the cost. It would be very helpful for every person who is thinking about becoming a child of God to study passages that urge us to count the cost before making a commitment to God. And so let's look at two passages together. 1 Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, and then Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 10, verses 32 through 39. In a parallel passage, Luke records the words of Jesus. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, what does Jesus mean by the word hate here in verse 26? He simply means what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 10, that if we love anybody or anything more than Jesus, then we cannot be his disciple. And then Luke 14:27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." If we're going to build a house, we make plans first. If an army is going to war, plans must first be made. If we're going to become a Christian, we must understand the sacrifices, the cost, the responsibility that is ours. For people who have counted the cost, we need to encourage them to obey the gospel. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you." 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. James adds, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit.' Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. In discussing basic facts of the faith, we understand that we have the responsibility to believe in Christ as the Son of God, to believe that God exists, that He created this universe in which we live, now exists because God created it. He then gave us His Word so that we would understand His will for us. In studying the Bible, we've learned there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And the New Testament is our law today. Jesus came to this earth and sacrificed His life on the cross so that our sins could be washed away. We can be added to His one church that He promised to build and that He built almost 2,000 years ago. Then in becoming a Christian by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of our every sin, confessing our faith in Christ, and then being immersed in water for the remission of sins, we're added to the Lord's church, and we begin living the Christian life. We do that because we know Jesus is coming back to judge the world in righteousness. You know, there are some governments and some countries in this world who do not want us to talk about the second coming of Christ, because that is an indication that their government is not going to last forever. But the Bible teaches Christ is definitely going to return. He's going to judge the world in righteousness, and then we're either going to heaven or to hell. And in order to consider what is involved in living this Christian life, we must count the cost. Why is it that people in this world are not interested in obeying the gospel? Why is it that they're not interested in following what the Bible says so that they can go to heaven? I believe one of the reasons that people do not obey the gospel today is because of what is called an intangible. What is an intangible? An intangible is something you cannot see, hear, smell, touch, or taste. Sometimes we call it the five senses. And people are not able to see, touch, taste, hear, or smell heaven and hell. They're not able to comprehend eternity. And so, when we talk about what's involved in becoming a Christian and living the Christian life, talking about eternity in heaven or in hell, people say, I can't see it. I can't smell it. I can't hear it. I can't touch it. I cannot taste it in any way. And so, because they do not understand it, they are not willing to consider its importance. It's similar to Noah in the Old Testament. Noah was told by God to build an ark. He was told by God to build an ark because God was going to destroy the world by water. And so Noah began building this ark that God commanded him to build, building it the proper size with the right kind of wood, gathering the animals that would go into this ark to preserve the animals on the earth. And during that time, Noah was preaching God's Word. He was a preacher of righteousness, according to Peter in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. So here's Noah telling the people in his day, God is going to destroy the world by water, by a flood. Well, the problem is, in Noah's day, it had not rained yet. God sent a mist up from the ground to water the earth. And it had not yet rained. And so, Noah says it's going to rain, it's going to flood, the earth is going to be destroyed, and if you don't get in the ark, you are going to drown. You are going to be lost. People had never seen rain. They had never seen a flood. So, they didn't believe what Noah was saying. What was the result? 8 people, Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and the wives of those 3 sons, 8 people were saved in the ark because people could not see the coming danger. In our day and time, we talk about the coming judgment. If we don't obey the gospel, we are going to be lost for all of eternity. And Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves will be condemned. People do not see the reason for being baptized. I believe that if Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will receive $1 million, then people would be wanting to be baptized all the time. And yet, because it says he who believes and is baptized will be saved, they do not understand that concept. Well, in the next place, we note that people do not have a concept of eternity. How long is eternity? How long will eternity last? The fact is, there is no end to eternity. And we have no concept of that because we think in seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millenniums. We think in time. But eternity has no time limitations. You cannot spend eternity. And so how do we get in the minds of people the importance of preparing for eternity? Because we're going to be in heaven or in hell for all of eternity. This is an old illustration, but I believe it is a good one to help us to understand eternity. Let's pretend for a moment that this whole earth on which we live is made out of sand. The entire earth is made out of sand. We already know that the sand that's on the earth cannot be counted, but let's just say for a moment that the whole earth is made of sand, and God commissions a bird to carry 1 grain of sand from the earth to the moon. The moon being 240,000 miles, 400,000 kilometers from the earth. And God tells this bird, you carry 1 grain of sand from the earth to the moon, 1 grain every 10,000 years. And let's say that God gives this bird life so that he can carry 1 grain of sand from the earth to the moon every 10,000 years. How long would it take for this bird to accomplish this job? We know that given enough time, he would be able to finish the job. How long would it take? I do not believe there is a computer powerful enough to figure out how long it would take. But I do know this, that when the bird finished the job, eternity would have just begun. You see, there is no end to eternity. How important it is that we determine to live our lives for God. Yes, these lessons that we have been studying have been designed to help those who have not yet obeyed the gospel to have a better understanding of what is involved in becoming a child of God and having the hope of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Yes, Jesus can say to us, "Depart from me," because we have not obeyed His will. These lessons were also presented to help remind those of us who have already obeyed the gospel what we must always remember. Peter wrote, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. Further, it was presented to help Christians to teach others these basic truths. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. It is our hope and prayer that every person might be saved and go to heaven. Peter says, "But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We hope these lessons have been of benefit to you.